Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. We're broadcasting from KERA in Dallas. And a story today that will make Dallas the center of the nation again, just like it was on November 22nd, 1963.
President Kennedy and Governor John Connally have been cut down by assassins' bullets in downtown Dallas.
And the first thing I remember hearing are what I thought was firecrackers, because Kennedy threw his hands up.
What kind of idiot would be throwing firecrackers with the president driving by?
And I saw the president grab at his throat and lurch to his left. So I knew something was wrong. Something had happened.
President Kennedy has been shot as a motorcade left downtown Dallas.
Today, the U.S. government is scheduled to release about 3,100 pages of previously undisclosed documents on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And chances are, whatever is in these newly released documents, it's not going to change a lot of minds about who's responsible for JFK's murder. Just ask anyone in Dealey Plaza here in Dallas, and nobody hesitates.
I'm assuming it's a conspiracy, I believe. That's what I think. It was a government conspiracy, probably cover up.
I have to believe it was Lee Harvey Oswald. I can't see any other logical answer.
I go with the conspiracy as far as being a second shooter at the grassy knoll, just because of the way the head moved back when he got shot.
In an age of conspiracy theories and fake facts, it's the ultimate American conspiracy theory.
Did the CIA assassinate JFK?
Cuba, a mafia.
CIA and a mafia working together.
This was a mafia hit.
LBJ killed JFK.
The single bullet theory.
It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma.
The murder of the President of the United States, the person that all Americans have in common. Theories about the Kennedy assassination are as American as the moon landing itself, if that's even real. Most of the people you see in Dealey Plaza today are tourists and theorists and conspiracy salesmen looking for a mark. And then there's a different type.
My name is Hugh Ainsworth. I've been a reporter for a little over 65 years. And I happen to be here in Dealey Plaza when the president was shot.
Hugh was standing right at the corner of Houston Street and Elm just as the president's motorcade made the left turn under the window of the Texas School Book Depository.
Right across from the depository building, there was a workman with a hard hat on. And he was pointing up to that window. And he said, he's up there. So I saw him. He's been there. So I ran to him, naturally, which was real good because he was the best witness. He described Oswald perfectly, and that's where the all-points bulletin came from.
Hugh went on from that day, chasing claims and witnesses. He's written multiple books on the assassination. Hugh isn't looking for any astounding revelations in the new documents today, but there are still things he wants to know, gaps in the record, things the government kept from the Warren Commission and from others.
Well, I expect what comes out will not change anybody's mind. It will be, you know, if they don't release it all, they're in for trouble. Because people need to know. Remember at that time, the CIA was involved in trying to kill Castro. Two or three attempts failed. They also had the same thing going with some of the other dictators in some of the Latin American countries. And they were involved far too much in other people's business. So I think that needs to all come out. And if it doesn't, it's going to be trouble for the CIA and to some extent the FBI.
Just a few steps from where Hugh and I are chatting is the Sixth Floor Museum. In the very building where the Texas School Book Depository was housed in 1963, and where Lee Harvey Oswald built a perch and a gun nest out of boxes, opened the window on the sixth floor above Houston and Elm, and fired three shots at President Kennedy as the motorcade passed. Stephen Fagan is the museum's curator.
Right outside, we are looking at the corner of Elm and Houston Street. And it was at that juncture where the motorcade made that hairpin left turn onto Elm Street. It was the very end of the official parade route. And it was where those shots were fired, the shots that killed Kennedy and wounded Governor John Connally. And as a result of that, within 24 hours of the assassination, this site, Dealey Plaza, became the most visited site in Dallas. And today it's the second most visited historic site in Texas behind the Alamo in San Antonio. And if you go outside and look around, you'll see young people who have no memories of this whatsoever. They see it as a murder mystery. They see it as something almost intangible, ancient history that they can somehow figure out if they wander the grass of Elm Street. But you also see older individuals lost in thought, thinking more about their own lives and maybe who they were in 1963. So it's a place of memory and catharsis, but it's also a place of mystery and discovery. And it's unique that we have a geographic location like this where we can say world history changed here that means different things to different people.
Fagan is immersed in the details of the assassination. Every name, every witness, every cop, every agent in Dallas that day, and as the investigation went on for years, he avoids talk of conspiracies and absolutely no politics.
Our job, of course, our mission is to contextualize the death of President Kennedy. And so we hope, we anticipate that these files will provide a broader understanding of not just the assassination, but the time period as well. The Warren Commission, we now know, was misled by the FBI and the CIA. That's pretty much established fact, that they weren't able to do the best investigation they could, not necessarily because the FBI and the CIA were complicit in some way, but just the result of a benign cover-up, because the FBI and the CIA knew about Lee Harvey Oswald in the aftermath. Of course, any government agency is going to want to downplay any awareness they had of this particular individual. But in the absence of that, in the shadows of that, you have these theories emerge. Well, maybe the government didn't just keep facts from the Warren Commission. Maybe they actively were involved in this. Maybe rogue elements of the CIA working with the mafia or the Soviet Union. And then all the players, all the usual suspects come to the surface. And it just seems so shadowy and so possible.
Back outside, Hugh Ainsworth says he doesn't come to Dealey Plaza very much anymore. The conspiracy theorists tease him. They call him a government stooge. He likes it inside, in the sixth floor museum, with the facts. And as far as the new government documents on the JFK assassination?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't need to know too much more. I'm sort of tired of it all, really. It was a terrible thing that happened. It happened 53, 54 years ago. And I don't want to see another 200 different conspiracies, because I've run down at least 20 myself.
Just a couple of feet away is the grassy knoll itself. It looks exactly like it did in 1963. Even the wooden fence where a fourth shot was possibly fired is still there.
So they won't show what we got, so that's unbelievable.
A man at a table sells his videos on alternative theories of the assassination, and close by is Jane Evans from the UK in Dallas visiting family. She was a second-year university student in England on November 22nd. She says the shock was real.
For everybody, not just here in America, yes, it washed over us all. Real concern, real fear, real upset as well. He held so much promise for so many people, not just you guys, but the rest of the world was pinning their hopes on him too, and we lost him. Who knows how good it would have been if he'd made it.
We want to give special thanks to the folks at the Sixth Floor Museum here in Dallas. The eyewitness testimony you heard at the top of the piece was courtesy of the museum's oral history collection. You can find a lot more on their website at jfk.org. Our thanks to our friends at KERA for hosting us these past few days. It's been fantastic. I'll be off tomorrow. CNN's Tanzina Vega is filling in for me. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.
PRI, Public Radio International.